Our scripture today comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, and this is all about teamwork. And it reminds me, this whole chapter reminds me of playing volleyball in college. I was on some really good teams the last 3 years, sophomore, junior, and senior. We played for the national title in the national championship game, but we'd get on these 15-passenger buses, vans, and drive home after them. And you know, these 21-year-old male egos were on the vans and talking about how great they were after every tournament. Win, lose, or draw. We normally won, but win, lose, or draw, they're talking about how great they were. And you have to think about this, a 15-passenger van, you've seen these. I'm 6'2". There was nobody shorter than me on the team. I was the little guy. So it was pretty cramped in there. Well, one Monday at practice, our coach had just about heard enough of it and ran us to death. And at the very end of it, he told us, you know, you guys, if you'll just quit worrying about how great you are and go win, there'll be plenty of glory to go around for everyone. Amen. And here I am. It's been over 20 years since my team won the national title and 75 pounds. And every tournament I go to, I still seems like I have somebody come up to me and say, man, you guys were great that year. How much better would it be to be on God's team? And how much more is the glory going to be?
Praise God. Amen.
For just as the body is one, and the member has and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of that body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and with our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has also arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm grateful to Coach Jason Smith for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Actually, I think he just preached my sermon for me, so can be grateful. We're going to wrap it up early today, so that's good. That's really good. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you're at work in our lives. We thank you for how you continue to be guiding us and strengthening us and filling us, sustaining us. Thank you for your presence here right now and how you are speaking. Help us to listen. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Good morning. He wants to help me worship today. I mean, he really does, and that's great. Listen, would you help me out just real quick here? Would you hold go ahead and stand up and hold on tight and toss this to somebody. Make sure they're looking at you. Don't hit them in the head or anything like that. It doesn't have to be somebody far away. Just go ahead and do that and get ready to catch it. You can get toss it to somebody close by even, right? Even the guy right next to you if you want to, okay? Okay, then I knew he was a good catch, so he'd have no problem. Go ahead, next person, if you want to go ahead and toss it. Nice, outstanding. That was good. That was good. Nice job, buddy. Excellent. Very good. You woke him up. I can't believe that. So, no, that's fine. Okay, everybody just stand up where you're at right now. No. Just the ones who have the twine. Simon says, that was outstanding. Okay, just hold up the twine. Anybody who's holding on to that twine? Okay. Are they connected by anything other than that twine? Yeah, they are. No question about it. They're connected by God's love, grace, power, and presence. Hey, let's go ahead and give them a round of applause. Nice job. Okay, you guys can let go of it. Wind it up. Just be careful as you're winding it up also. So the connection that we have, the connection as we have as children of God is easy to see when we're all holding on to a piece of twine, right? Okay, we're connected. You look at the next person in line that is holding on the twine with you. It's also easy to see whenever we're together in the same place, like today. You look around and you realize that we're all in this together. We're on a journey together. And while we may have come from different places, while we may have come from some places that are used to rain, even some wild off exotic places, and we've come from all sorts of places spiritually as well, okay? And emotionally. And we come bearing all sorts of things deep down in our soul, in those intimate places where God resides and continues to work. We come with all those differences, but still, when we are gathered together like this, we are one body. You are the body of Christ. That's what you are. And we are children of God. And we are those who are filled by God's Holy Spirit. A Spirit that is at work in us at this very moment. Can you imagine that? Even if you're in a bad mood right now, anybody in a bad mood? Go ahead and raise your hands. I want to especially smile at you. Anybody in a bad mood right now? Okay. If you're in a bad mood right now, I want to share something with you. God loves you whether you like it or not. And God's at work in your life whether you like it or not. Even when we are in one of those moods, we don't want to have to put up with anybody else, much less ourselves. God still is at work. It's a powerful truth to remember. This is the reason. We don't initiate God working. Do you hear that? We do not initiate God working. God initiates God working. That means that God is at work even when we're not thinking about God, when our thoughts are someplace far off. Now, in this particular passage today, the passages that are leading up to it, okay, specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are all sorts of directions concerning worship and concerning communion and how we do this. In the early church, there were some divisions. And in the early church, there were people that thought they were better than other people. Now, isn't it wonderful that that no longer exists in the modern day church? People thinking that they're holier than other people. People thinking that they're more righteous than other people. People thinking that they're better than other people. Thank goodness we've washed our hands of all those things. Amen, church? and it'll never happen again. Amen? In the early Corinthian church, it was a big, big problem. And Paul gives some specific directions and basically calls them on the carpet. Then he does something remarkable. I really believe Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit as he was writing this particular letter, as he was writing both letters to the Corinthian church, but this particular part. As we get into chapter 12, he starts talking about spiritual gifts. In other words, even when the church is disagreeing, even when there are members within the church that might even be angry at one another, God continues to work. It doesn't keep God from working. In fact, nothing can keep God from working, because God is the great author of life, our Heavenly Father, and the one who sustains and uplifts and fills us in each and every breath. For us, as we read the 12th chapter, and as we get into the part of the 12th chapter that we were looking at today and considering, it starts talking about, starts using an imagery, I should say, that was not completely foreign to that day and time. The imagery of the body, talking about a group of people. Now, you have to understand that when the Roman government used the image of body to talk about its citizens, its people, there was clearly a hierarchy. In other words, Caesar was at the top. In fact, Caesar was to be worshipped. And then the generals, and then the senators, and those with wealth and power in that day and age and authority were at the top of the ladder. And it was very clear then, as you went down in society, individuals that had less and less quote-unquote power and economic power and wealth and authority and prestige, they were at the bottom rung of the ladder. Paul turns this around completely. Paul shatters that model forever and gives us a whole new way of looking at it. In the church, there's no one that is up here compared to down here. We're all here. We're joined by God's grace. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. That means that we are the body for the world today. And that means that rather than putting somebody on the outside or disregarding somebody in the church, we are called to recognize each person as a child of God, no matter what their age, no matter what their status in life, no matter what they've come from, no matter what they're going to face. You hearing this, church? All of those things no longer define you. What you are defined by is God's presence and work and love. That's it. So, the question is for us, how does God love me? Sometimes when you look at yourself in the mirror, is that the most difficult person you're going to deal with that day? When you look in the mirror, is that the most challenging person? And maybe the most difficult person for you to realize God loves that person. But if that's true, and it is, no question about it, the Bible is very much the story of God's love for us. It's a long love letter from us to us from God. Therefore, then, God loves that other person that you're going to encounter, even the challenging person. Think this thought. God loves the pain in my neck. Not literally the pain in your neck. The person that comes to mind. The person that you can think of right now. The person who challenges you. If it's a person next to you, don't point to them right now so I take notice. I need to say that. In first service, people were going like this, and I said, don't do that. I don't want to. It's too much. For us, there is that presence of the holy in us, and therefore it's that presence of the Holy or God's presence in others as well. If we are all created by God, which we understand, then we all have that presence, that touch of God's creative power in us, that holy presence of God, that sacredness. It's difficult to think about that, I know, but it's true. And when we remember that, then once again, we are the church, we are the body of Christ. You know, that last particular reading, that last section that was offered this morning is a listing of particular positions, if you will. What does it say? Some of the terms that are used there, prophets, teachers, working miracles, gifts of healing, a whole list of particular positions in the church that point to particular spiritual gifts. Now, let me share something with you. That list is not all-inclusive, all right? Paul, whenever he wrote, was simply using a list as an example. Okay, these are some examples of ways that God works. There are so many other ways, countless ways. And once again, whenever I look out into this gathering this morning, there are individuals that I look at that their gifts come to mind for me. And I'm blessed because I'm mindful then of being part of the body of Christ with them. And I'm mindful of being part of this bigger thing with all of you. Each and every person here has gifts to share. Whether you feel gifted or not, it's not defined by what you feel. It's defined by what God has already done in your life. It's defined by what God is doing in your life. God is at work. God is at work in you. God is at work in your journey. What is He calling you to share at this time? How is He calling you to share at this time? And maybe it's a time when you need to just kind of pull back and reflect and meditate and be in prayer and allow God's grace to wash over you. That's okay. That's necessary. That's important as well. That's part of the equation. But coming out of those parts, how is God connecting you in the body of Christ? What is He calling you to do? How is He calling you to share right now? Make no mistake, God does call each of us to share. And to share when we're in a bad mood or we don't want to is a real stretch, isn't it? To step forward and be willing to go ahead and offer beyond ourselves and offer in a way that builds God's kingdom and gives God the glory. Sometimes, you know, we want a little bit of a pat on the back as well. Don't worry. You're going to get that. You're going to get that from how God speaks to you specifically and reminds you that you're His child, that He cares about you, and He's with you. You'll be reminded whenever He's with you through the challenging times in life, the difficult moments in life, that you belong to Him. You'll be reminded whenever He springs joy upon you, whenever you're able to experience Him or see Him in some way that surprises you in the world. In all those ways, God pats you on the back and says, you are a part of the body, and you are loved. In seminary, I saw an interesting worship service. It wasn't in our chapel at seminary. It was in our dining hall. And it was in the dining hall because they needed a much larger space. And whenever we walked into the dining hall for chapel that morning, we were greeted with a scaffolding. Do you know what a scaffolding is? If you've been down the hospital, you know what a scaffolding is. It's a structure where you can go ahead and do construction, and it's generally set up around something that's being built. Well, then there were a bunch of people who did clown ministry that came in. And that was a little bit surprising because they're actually dressed as clowns and they're doing ministry. in the name of Jesus Christ. And they came in, and they came in silently. And then all of a sudden, they started holding up big ears or noses or eyes or a mouth. And they started climbing all over that scaffolding. And at first, there didn't seem to be any sort of rhyme or reason. Then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, you know what came into focus, right? A face. And guess what scripture passage was used? This one. The parts of the body coming together. Sometimes we don't know how it's going to come together. Sometimes we struggle to be the body of Christ. But we know that we're not alone in that struggle. Certainly, each of us has those times when we say to God, Lord, what is it that you're calling me to do? How is it that you're calling me to speak at this time? But we can know that God's already at work in that and everything else as well. The body of Christ, separate parts, separate kinds of gifts, and yet all pulled together to do God's work to build His kingdom. Take a few moments to reflect with me on how God is calling you to be part of the body of Christ. Maybe even what specific gift God has revealed to you that He's calling you to share as we are the body of Christ in a world that needs it now more than ever. Join with me.